Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 339, Grieving in Christ. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, October 8, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The message title today, if you're a note taker, is Grieving in Christ. So it's so important for us to talk about that. How to mourn well. And before you think, oh man, this is going to be such a downer, just you wait. It's not going to be a downer. It's not going to be a downer. And so the Holy Spirit, to help me that it's not going to be a downer, he said, start with some jokes. So here we go. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. He brews it. How long did Cain dislike his brother? Think about what his brother's name was. As long as he was able. I like that one. Ba-dum-ching. Okay, a few more. Why didn't Noah go fishing? He only had two worms. That one took me a second. I was like, what? Oh, right. He called the animals two by two, right? Okay. Oh, boy. You can still go fishing with two worms, Noah. Come on. But he needed them in the boat, right? So what is the best way to study the Bible? You look into it. Luke. You look into it. I know these are really corny. One more because I really like this one. What do you call a sleepwalking nun? Something happened. A Roman Catholic. Get it? Roman Catholic. We love Catholics. I my roots are Catholic. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to. Okay, we'll stop. We'll just preach. We'll just go with the preaching. Okay. Did you like the jokes? I like some. Okay. There's more. There's a whole list. If you type in Christian jokes, you get fun stuff and corny stuff too. Okay, praise the Lord. So why are we talking about grieving today? Well, I think it's important because even though we'd like to avoid pain and hardship, you know, we can't avoid that. We go through life and stuff happens, right? Hardship happens. Difficult things happen. Crisis, unfortunately, happens. We live in a broken world, right? And so we don't have the option to go through life without pain. So how we grieve loss, disappointment, hurt, discouragement, all of that matters. It matters because in those difficult moments of our lives, we have an invitation, an opportunity to press into God. Amen? Amen. And he's not just, oh yeah, we press into God who's up there. He's the God of all comfort. He's the one who wants to comfort you. He's the one that lives inside of you. He is the Prince of Peace. He knows how to comfort you because he created you and he lives inside of you. And like Pastor Harley said, we are temples of the living God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to guard our hearts. Right? We've got to guard our hearts against all else because it is the wellspring of life. So it's important when we're going through loss, disappointment, a hard time, a crisis, that we mourn with the Lord and we mourn well with him so that we can guard our hearts so that we won't be in that state of mourning forever, right? Because the joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. So we're going to learn what the Bible says about how to grieve with Jesus at the center and how to come out transformed on the other side by him, by his shalom peace. You know, the Lord gives us in his word, he equips us with words like scripture, like rejoice always, right? And in everything, give thanks. Well, we wouldn't need those kinds of scriptures, those kinds of words, if we didn't go through hard times, right? So that's his equipping to us through through the word of God, through the sword of the Spirit. When we go through pain, when we go through hurt, we must cling to him. We must cling to the word because it's going to sustain us. It's going to carry us through. His presence combined, meeting us, meeting his presence through the word is the best. Have you experienced his peace and his presence through reading the word? When it comes alive to you, when you're having a really, when you're going through something difficult, oh, I tell the Lord, oh, it just melts my heart to hear your voice. I just want to hear your voice more and more and more. Bring it on, Lord, especially when I'm going through something difficult. So let's dive in. Mourning is biblical. It's all through the word. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to don themselves, like put sackcloth and ashes on to when they were to symbolize when they were going through a state of mourning. And we know it's not healthy to push down grief or push down, deep feelings of hurt. Because what happens then? It festers. It boils inside there, and your heart, your life, your spirit, and it's going to manifest in some ugly way if you don't deal with it. And some of us is probably, I've experienced that, where, you know, there's a soul, mind, body connection. And so my body will manifest things that I'm going through in the spirit, and it'll show. And I'll tell you a testimony a little bit later on, and it involves how my body was manifesting that crisis that I was living in. So it's so important. Don't just stuff it down. Don't just push down the hurt. Deal with it. Run to the Father. Run to the arms of Jesus because he wants to meet you there. He wants to soothe your broken heart. He wants to give you encouragement. He wants to light you up with joy again, even as you walk through a tough thing. So it's important. Get before God and grieve well. Mourning will either take you, I've discovered this in the word, mourning will either take you, there's like two options. It'll take you to the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, the living God, or it'll take you to unbelief. And I'm going to show you what I mean in the word. Let's go to Matthew 5. If you have your smartphone devices, or if you're old school like me, nothing wrong with being old school. I like flipping the pages. Matthew 5, verse 4. Bless you. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Or in the older, I think it's the King James that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's a blessing upon you, a blessing from God, that anointing from heaven, something special. When you press in to the living God and say, I'm hurting, and you empty out your heart to him, he's going to meet you there. He's going to bless you there. You're going to meet with him face to face. You will be comforted in that. Amen? So mourning can take you into the presence of God to experience what you don't understand. We need his presence more than answers. We need his presence. You know, when you're with somebody, and let's say you're, you know, maybe somebody close to you just died, and, you know, sometimes people, we don't know what to say, right? And somebody says something, and it's like they're trying to find an answer, and it's like sometimes we just need somebody to be there and sit with us in that. And that's what God does so well. He's an expert. We need his presence. We just need to know that he's there and that he's going to come around us and he's going to be with us. He's going to comfort us. His very presence will manifest. We'll say, I know you're here, God. I'm hurting, but I know you're with me. And I know you're going to carry me through. Speak, Lord, manifest yourself as the Prince of Peace to me right now. Manifest yourself as the King of Comfort right now, because I need you. His comfort comes and surrounds you in that. So that's one option. That morning will take you to the comforter. You run to Jesus with all your hurt and your pain and your disappointment. Or it'll take you to unbelief. And let's look at Mark 16, verses 9 through 11. This is right after Jesus was crucified, died on the cross. Mark 16, verse 9, it says, after Jesus rose from the dead on early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping. Okay, the disciples were grieving and weeping, and she told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. They didn't believe her. What's that? That's unbelief. She had experienced, she saw that Jesus rose again. She experienced the gift of his presence, right? She was comforted by his presence manifesting to her. So she's excited, right? And she goes to the disciples and they're grieving, weeping, and wailing. And they couldn't accept the gift. Do you see that? Wow. Mourning can lead to unbelief if there's a denial of the person of Jesus. If we say, no, Jesus, I'm just over here weeping and wailing. I'm not saying crying and weeping is bad. But if that is overtaking you and you're denying and pushing away what God wants to bring to you, his presence that wants to approach you and be around you, then it's going to lead you to unbelief. And you're pushing away the very thing that you need. Wow. Right? Mary had seen the resurrected Christ, and she was offering this incredible gift to them, the truth of the presence of Jesus. Like, hey guys, stop mourning, stop crying. He's not dead. He's alive. He wants to be with you. He wants to comfort you. And they couldn't see it because they were just weeping and wailing, and they put that at the forefront. They rejected the gift of his presence. They couldn't receive or benefit from that gift of who Jesus was, the God of all comfort, the Prince of Peace, that was what came to bring them comfort in that time of mourning. Their mourning disqualified them. Their hardened hearts in that moment led to unbelief. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Wow, wow. And then if you carry on, let's go keep going in that story, Mark 16. Verse 12 is where we stopped. So afterward, he, Jesus, appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. This is the road to Emmaus, right? They're walking. They didn't recognize him at first. Then they did, right? Bless you. They rushed back to tell the others. No one believed them, it says in verse 13 of Mark 16. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Wow. He rebuked their unbelief. Wow. Because he wants, his desire is to get his presence and his comfort to us. But if we have a hardened heart and we just put ourselves in my morning and my this and my that, and it's all about me, and we push away the very presence of God that is right there with us. Let's not reject his comfort. Let's not reject the Prince of Peace. Let's not be blinded like they were. So there's the mourning that leads to him, and there's mourning that resists his presence and rejects the one who is speaking and reaching out to give his life, his strength, his comfort, his encouragement. So let's choose life, like it says in Deuteronomy. Let's choose the Comforter. Let's choose him to allow his presence to be that balsam, that balm for our hurting souls, right? Okay, let's look at another verse. Chapter 4, verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. I'm going to read that again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. So that means there's grieving with hope and grieving without hope. Because, right? He said, we don't want you to be those who grieve like those who have no hope. So the opposite of that, the other option is grieving as having hope, right? I want to experience hope. I want to have hope as I'm grieving. And knowing the whole gospel, the plan, and knowing about heaven, having been focused on eternity and what Jesus promises for us, for those who believe, that gives us hope, right? That gives us hope. Yes, we miss Sister Cheryl and hearing her sing her anointed songs and belt out the songs of joy. But guess what? She's in the presence of the Father, and that gives me hope. It was sad to say goodbye to her, and my heart grieved that and other people that I have lost. But especially knowing that she is in the presence of Jesus, worshiping. She gave her crowns to him, and she is just having the time of her life, worshiping the King of Kings and King and Lord of Lords. That is grieving as having hope. And it helps to know what the Bible says about, you know, I guess I could say, somebody asked me the other day about the afterlife. Well, the afterlife is heaven or hell. Two harsh realities, black or white, heaven or hell. So we can grieve with hope when we know that people, where what the promise of eternity, life with him, when we know that that's like 1 Thessalonians 4, what it says. Okay, let's move on. Actually, a few more things about hope. Our mourning must be enhanced with hope. We must. Or it'll lead to unbelief. Well, what is hope? How do I maintain that? What are you talking about? Hope is a faith-filled moment of joyful expectation. There's hope on the other side of darkness of death, right? Like we talked about a few weeks ago when I was sharing the word, when we read about Hebrews 12, 2. For the joy set before him, for the hope set before him. I know the word says the joy. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, right? It was what was to come, the joy to come, the hope to come, because the hope to come was you experiencing abundant life that he died on the cross to give you. And then here, now, not just waiting till you get to heaven, here, now. But then the day that your physical body leaves this earth, the promise of eternal life. And that brings hope. Hope will help you overcome the sorrow of your soul. Read this love letter. It's going to fill you with hope. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and hope will come as well. Joyful expectation of what is to come. His promises are yes and amen. There's so many reasons to hope when you're reading the word. Sometimes we need to step out of our situation, Yes, we go to God with our hurt and our pain and then run to here. Give me some hope. I need something, Lord. I need something that takes me, like lifts, like he's the lifter of your head. Get in the word and allow it, him, his presence, to lift your head with his word. Because it's alive. And it'll lift you up and it'll give you strength. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Okay. The next verse, I stopped and I want to just pick up on that. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. It says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." That's a promise, right? We believe that. And that gives us hope. Praise the Lord. It's important to see what the word says about this, about death, about hard things, about eternal life, about joyful things, eternal life. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross so that we could have eternal life. This is the gospel, friends. This is it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, I am. John 12:23-24. Don't you love it when it says, "Verily, verily," or "I tell you the truth." Yeah, tell me the truth. It comes from the Spirit of truth, right? He's not telling me lies when I read the Bible. Hallelujah. If you need incentive to read the Bible, there you go. He says, John 12:23, "I tell you the truth." We all want truth, right? "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. So every loss and every disappointment, every death has potential to birth something new." That's what I get out of this verse when I read this verse. It can be a seed to produce many new seeds. Some people never turn to the Lord in their time of grief and crisis. It's true, right? And maybe we've experienced some of that. We've learned from that, right? So that when if we're not turning to the Lord, then that seed remains alone. It just falls to the ground, right? The potential for it is unreached. If we never release that seed to God, if we never surrender it and let it truly die, then it fails to bring the increase that this word is saying it is promised to us. I want God to do something with my pain. I want him to birth something new out of what I'm walking through that's difficult, right? Use it, God. If I've got to go through this, use it for your glory. Like, purify my heart. Make me new. What's the song about the wine? It's crushed and it's pressed. You're making new wine out of me. Hallelujah. And I've walked through some stuff and I'm not the same as before I went through it. And I praise God for those things because he's used that to transform me and to make him more like, to make me more like him and to make me more, you know, have this endurance and this strength that doesn't come when everything is just sunshine and rainbows all the time. I mean, we can just walk around and be happy all the time. Just, you know, it's good to be joyful. But when we go through hard stuff, I want him to do something with it. I want there to be a purpose out of that, you know? Ooh, boy, I'm feeling it. Bring blessing, God, out of my hurt. Bring blessing out of my pain, out of every tear that I've cried. Birth something new. He can do it. Hallelujah. He's the one that can do it. Only God can turn a great tragedy into something that changes our life forever. And if I've got to go through it, he's allowed it for some reason. He's not the author of death and destruction, but he allowed me to walk through it. Then God, you use it. You polish me. You purify me. You cleanse me. You make me look more like you. I want to come out on the other side shining like Jesus with that hard thing that I walked. Journey with God through your pain. I dare you. I dare you to journey with God through your pain. Seek his countenance. Honor him, because through all of what you're walking through, a seed is sown into the ground that will bring increase if you dedicate it to him. If you give him your pain, you give him your heart, your broken heart, you give him your disappointment. Let him be glorified by that increase, by the blessing that comes. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's some points, some further points about grieving. There are aspects, and I'm discovering this, wow. There are aspects of God's presence that you can only find in the valley of the shadow of death. Like, I've come to know him in a much deeper way through some stuff that I've been walking through. I wouldn't have maybe signed up for that. I wouldn't have chosen that. But guess what? Through it, I've gotten to see his face in a deeper way and see who he is. And he's beautiful. And he's present. And he's the God of comfort. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Right? The whole Psalm 23 is like written by a shepherd. Donna's got an amazing book about this, and I'm reading it slowly also. But so, what does that mean? Your rod and your staff. The rod was a symbol of love. The rod and the staff was the same tool that the shepherd used, right? Apparently, the shepherds used the rod to count the sheep. Like, to count each one out in the field. Like, you know, let's say you go on a field trip with your 10 children or something, and, you know, or a classroom of kids, head count, do I have everyone? Are they all here? They got to be with me. Nobody's straying away. And so the shepherds would use this, what are we talking about? The rod, yes. They would use the rod to make sure, to count the sheep, to make sure they're all there. He's looking out for each one. He's protecting and putting his attention on each one. I have all of them. Okay. So your rod brings me comfort. Your staff, it brings me comfort. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's the staff all about, you say? Well, I'll tell you. It's a symbol that we can find rest when we lean on the Lord. The staff, same as the rod, but it's used in a different way at this moment, is what the shepherd would lean on when the ground was like soft or not super steady. They would lean on that, and they would also support themselves and lean on that, like through the long shifts of the night of guarding the sheep and making sure no intruders would come and get their sheep when they were tending the sheep. And they also used the staff to rescue a sheep that was maybe, you know, use the hook and like bring it back if it was maybe a sheep was stuck under some brambles or bushes or something like that. So this is the symbol that we can find rest when we lean on our Heavenly Father, when we lean on him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So in that darkness of soul, when things haven't turned out the way I've prayed, it hasn't gone the way I wanted, the outcome is confusing, the outcome is painful, it's then that I can discover new dimensions to who God is, new dimensions of Jesus. I can see a new part of him, of his face, of his comfort like never before. I remember a time that I was going through crisis of who am I, and I just, motives of my heart of why I did certain things, looking for affirmation and acceptance from people. My whole self-identity was messed up. And I'll just say it that way plainly. And where my value came from, it was messed up and it needed an adjustment. And I was kind of, like I referred to before, my body was manifesting this sort of nervous breakdown of who am I and what's happening. It was a really rough time. And my friends joked teased me, but I look like the nutty professor. I got this like allergic reaction in my lips, and my lips were swollen like this. And they teased me, but they knew I was going through stuff. Like God was just rearranging all this stuff in my heart when I was serving as a missionary in Argentina. And I remember I took a time out, and I had a period of time. I was at a different base, and you know, the leaders recognized, okay, I was just like, I can't serve anymore. I need a timeout. I need a sabbatical with Jesus. Like I need one-on-one face-to-face with him. And so they gave me some service and some work duties, but they allowed me to have like the mornings off. And you know, missionary life, we worked hard, and usually we're working. And so the other people were out working all morning, and you know, I would come out midday and then do activities and serve and do stuff. But I had all those mornings with the Lord. And I remember laying on the floor of the cabin where I was staying at this place, just by myself with my Bible, laying on the floor, just crying, just sobbing my heart out before the Lord, saying, I'm not leaving from this place until you get me up. I know I'm supposed to be out there around noon or whatever, but your strength. And I just communed with the Father in like deeper way than I had ever done. And I experienced just, I can't even describe it to you. I experienced his lifting, that he was the lifter of my head. And I remember I would go out and serve in the afternoon, and people were like, wow, you're doing really well. Like, you look good, Sarah. And it was like, you didn't see me a few hours ago. Like, you didn't see me in my secret place with the Lord, like pouring my heart out before God, saying, I feel like there's a ton of bricks on my back and you've got to lift them off. And he lifted them off one by one. And each day he gave me the strength to go out and to serve and to put a smile on my face, even if inside I was hurting. And it was like I experienced, even though I was in crisis and my lips were like the nutty professor and I had to eat certain things and couldn't eat tomato or anything acidic. And it was like, it was rough. But I experienced a new, like, strength, a lifting of his presence that I had never experienced before. And so I just encourage you to just run to him in your grief. Run to him. He will lift those bricks off of you. And even as you have to get up, and, you know, we have responsibilities. We can't just lay around all day and cry, you know. And so we have things to do, but take the time to pour your heart out to him and allow him to lift you up so that you can go serve. And then people ask you, wow, like, how do you, they're going to be attracted. The ones that know, I mean, people will just be attracted to you because you carry joy, even when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Another thing that I've learned. Oh, this is big. Keep your heart tender. Keep your heart tender and open toward God. It's so easy when we're not getting the outcome that we've prayed for, that the word even says. It's so easy to harden our hearts and lift our fist and say, why, God? I've learned that asking why isn't productive. For me, it's not been productive, because that leads me to blame God. It leads me to be a critic. And guess what? It takes me away from him. But I'm like, God doesn't have to give me an answer. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I might be confused by something that's happening or hasn't happened in my life, but I need to submit to him, right? He's not a vending machine. He's not a genie in a bottle. He wants relationship with us through whatever we're walking, when we haven't gotten the answers that it says in here that we should receive, right? Or the breakthrough. He's always good. He's always good, even if we don't understand him. Or we don't understand why things happen or haven't happened. Simplicity of childlike faith. That's what that is. Saying, I don't get it, and this hurts my heart, but I trust you, God. I trust you, Father. I give up my right to understand. And that's a letting go. Let me tell you, that's a process. That's a letting go. He doesn't owe me an explanation. Some of this message has been inspired by a message by Bill Johnson. If any of you follow Redding, it's in Redding, California. It's Bethel Church. Bill Johnson is the senior pastor there, and he lost his wife to cancer last year, I believe. Was it 2022, I think? Anyways, he says, where's my quote? I lost it. There it is. The backslider in heart will always judge God by what he didn't do. But those who run with tenderness for who he is will always define him by what he has said and what he has promised and by what he has done. Don't judge God and raise your fist and close your heart and harden your heart. Keep tender to him. Ask him for revelation. Ask him to show you. Ask him to speak through your word and say, God, I don't get it. And this is hard, but I need your help. I need you. I need your strength. I need your word. I need your wisdom and revelation that Pastor Harley talked about last weekend. Okay, another point, and then we're going to have Sister Carissa come and share a bit of her testimony of how God has done some of these things in her life. God gives us moments in time, opportunities this side of heaven on the earth that we will never have once we reach his presence. Once we reach eternity and we're ushered into the presence of God in heaven, we're not going to have pain and sorrow anymore. We only have few opportunities of immense pain and confusion and suffering here that we can choose to worship him with those moments. It's important how we respond in those moments. Steward, Bill Johnson says this, steward those moments well, because you can, where's my page? There it is. You can choose with that moment of deep pain to give that to him as an act of worship. I'll be a worshiper for all of eternity. I'll bow before his throne for all of eternity, but I'll never have the chance here to do it with pain in this life or when I go to heaven. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Here I have pain. And I can bow before his throne with my pain here and give that as a sacrifice of worship. That when worship costs you something, when it's so costly in such a pivotal moment of your life, like Bill Johnson talks about the moment that, you know, his wife took her last breath and was ushered into the presence of God. A moment like that, you don't get to redo that moment again. You give all of your heart to Jesus and you just say, this hurts me, but I praise you and I glorify you. I worship you in the middle of this painful moment. Because that's the most priceless gift that you can give him. That's up to each one of us. We can give him that moment that there's joy in loss, that there's peace in pain, that you give up your right to understand. It's like the woman who poured perfume out on Jesus's head. There's other stories that talk about the woman that came and poured the expensive perfume over his feet. Let's look at just the last scripture here. Look at the story in Matthew 26, where this woman, and she remains nameless, but she pours perfume on Jesus's head. So this is Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. It says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me?" He called it a good thing. It was the most expensive perfume that she had. "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me," Jesus said. "She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Wow. She doesn't have a name, but this woman and what she did will be remembered and discussed. It touched the heart of Jesus so much. Others didn't understand it and they criticized her. Others may not understand when you're walking in joy and peace, even in the middle of your hard situation, your family crisis or whatever. And they might criticize you for that and say, "Well, you should be crying. You should be mourning." Well, if Jesus gives you peace and Jesus gives you joy and Jesus tells you what to do, like her, to release that gift over him, then we've got all we need, right? She wanted to give her best gift to him, honor him, and express her love to him. She gave it all. But I guess what? You know, if you think about this, she gave it all to him. But he came out smelling like that beautiful, rich, fragrant perfume. But guess who else came out smelling like that? She did. And so when you give those painful moments to God in worship, you surrender it to him and allow him to be there with his presence, the Prince of Peace, to comfort you, you will come out smelling like Jesus. You will come out with his presence, with his glitter, so to speak, in the spiritual. That's an encounter with the Lord, and people are going to notice that too. So steward those moments well. Yield to Jesus, because you only have one chance at some of those most painful moments. All right. I'm going to have Sister Carissa come up. And she, the Lord confirmed to me that to ask her to share this story of what happened, the supernatural presence of God that surrounded her when her brother died. This year, February. Okay, I won't say anymore. We'll let you share from your heart.
I want to say first off, I don't know who I thought it was to think that I wasn't going to cry through this, but yeah. It's just my heart. Amen. I also want to preface this with saying that this is my opportunity to kick the devil straight in the face, and I'm taking every ounce of that in the name of Jesus. The other day I was telling somebody a testimony of something I had walked through, something different, and I acknowledged, like, afterward, I'm like, you know what, it feels so good to be on the other side of something and just be able to tell someone that. And so I just felt this morning I wanted to say to you guys, I prophesy that for you too, that if you're going through something hard right now, that you are going to come to a day where you're going to be able to tell that story as a testimony for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so it's funny because this story had really been on my heart. Like, I don't know how many times I've said, I feel like I could write a small book about my experience of what I went through. And what I'm going to tell you is just totally supernatural, and it supersedes even my own brain. So just hear it with the ears of the Spirit, by the Spirit. It's not a fleshly thing, okay? So anybody who's been close to me in my life knows how much my brother's meant to me. I didn't always have the opportunity of having him close in my life because of his circumstances, but God had sown him into my heart in a very deep way. And a lot of people in this room have cried with me and prayed with me over his life, and we believed and we stood until the end, and the enemy did not win. we didn't see the fulfillment, just like I said earlier with Sister Cheryl. We didn't see the fulfillment exactly how I would have imagined or pictured, but it happened in a different way. It was brought back to my memory this morning. I remember one day sitting here in church, and God told me, I'm going to deliver your brother from the pit. I heard him speak it to me. I believed it with all my heart. And I do have peace, and God's given me peace that he's in heaven. And I would say that this area up here is all holy ground. A lot of, you know, several members of my family have been up here, and there will be more coming in Jesus' name. But, you know, a lot has transpired in certain areas. And in that area over here is where God spoke that to me. And I'll come back to that in a moment. So what I'm going to say, this is coming from a place of I deeply love my brother. God had put him in my heart in a very powerful way. Like I would know before things were going to happen, I would know something was coming after him. I knew there was attacks on his life, and we prayed. And actually, he escaped death through those prayers. I don't know if a lot of you know that, but it truly was. But just because it didn't happen the way that I expected and wanted it to happen doesn't mean that God, I mean, God's ways are higher. His ways are higher than ours. How could I be here, standing here today and being able to testify in front of you guys something good? Like, God is using this for good. He uses all things for our good. We just have to believe it. I might not ever understand on this side of heaven why certain things happened and transpired the way that they did, but I don't have to understand everything. God doesn't owe that to me. All I have to do is believe and trust in him and trust that his plans and his ways are good, and they're higher than mine and anything that I could ever think or imagine. Amen. He's faithful. So I want to also say that I want to give some background. Obviously, I've been in this church for a few years. God has built my faith up being here. I'm much more solidified than I used to be. You know, we don't ever arrive to a certain point, but, you know, I have built, you know, my faith has been built up. And so when the wind and the waves of life come, they don't take you down. You know, you get founded. That's where you find that you were founded on the rock. You're found on solid foundation, you know, and we don't find that out until we go through the things. When we go through the tests and trials, and we're like, oh, wow, I have this faith in me. You know, it just rises up, you know, because that's what we're meant to do. We're not meant for those things. It's not meant for those things to come and tear us down, but to build us up and strengthen us, because God's taken us from glory to glory. Amen. So the way that this happened is the day that I found out he had passed away, I was actually at a conference a few hours away, a presence conference of all things. I saw my dad send me a message. It said, are you home? And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, your brother died. And I'm sitting there in a room. I know one person in this entire room. And I had to make a decision right then. Do I go with my flesh, and do I run out of this room and cry, because that's how much I knew it to be true? Or do I sit here and I just yield to the Holy Spirit? And being at a presence conference, we took a very long period of time, maybe 30 minutes or so, which was feels like an eternity when you have that type of a weight bearing on you, right? And we just sat in the presence of God. And what the Holy Spirit deposited in me is what carried me through the coming days. But I had to be intentional to hear his voice and submit to him and receive that. Well, not only that, after we left, we had about a 3-hour drive. We actually headed straight here to this church because we had Pastor Alejandro was here that night. And the whole way home, Holy Spirit told Elizabeth, and he told me, but we didn't talk about it together. I waited until I got the confirmation, but we both knew. So again, I come here knowing this, and I had to yield again in order to be here, be present, and receive. But God was depositing in me the strength that I needed to, you know, for the coming days. And that was very, very important, okay? So, to see if I So the next day, okay, so later on that evening when I left here, my dad refused to tell me that my brother actually passed away until I was home. He was very adamant, so I didn't press it. I just received from the Lord, and when I got home, I got the confirmation, and I was with Elizabeth, and I just thank God for the way that he did it, you know, because it could have happened a different way, but, you know, I was there for my best friend, and that's how I received the news. But I didn't take it as most people, or even how I would have thought before that day, would have thought I would have responded. And immediately I knew that God had given me the strength to not only stand for myself, but for my family for the days to come. And I immediately just said, I'm sharing the gospel at the funeral. That's my way of getting back at the enemy for what he thinks that he wants to do to my family. So the next day I came into church, I was just very quiet. You know, it's kind of like what she said. You know, most people would say to me, like, I don't have any words to say to you. And it's like, it's okay. There's nothing to really say, you know. And I remember Pastor Karen coming over here, and I was just really surprised even what came out of me, because I was in such a quiet state. Just very somber, you know. And I quoted this scripture. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. It just came out of my spirit. And I'm like, well, God, if there was ever an opportunity for me to experience great joy, this is it right here. I put a demand on it, and I was very adamant about it, because, you know, like Pastor Sarah said, there are certain things you're going to go through in your life that you're going to learn something, a new dimension, a new characteristic, certain aspects of God that you're not going to learn through other things in life. It's going to take going through something really hard to bring you to that point and say, oh God, I didn't know this was you. I didn't know this is how you were. That was one of the hardest days of my life. Because of certain circumstances, I had to go from the morning service here, because we had a morning and an evening, and in between I had to go do one of the hardest, maybe the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life, and I had to go with my sister and tell my mom that her son had died. Nobody should ever have to do that. And when I came back that night to the service, the only thing I wanted to do was just come up here and just lay out. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I hadn't even had time to really process what had happened, you know? I felt like I was having some type of this can't be real life, you know? Is this a dream? Is this a bad dream? I'm just going to wake up from no. And I come in, and I know Tanya noted, she saw my face, you know. I don't know that I talked to anybody, but the Holy Spirit had me come up here that night, and I just started dancing. And this morning, I didn't think about it, but I was dancing in the same spot that God told me he was going to pull my brother out of the pit. That was not me. You know, that was the Holy Spirit. There's no way. There was nothing in me that was like, I'm going to go dance at church. I don't even always dance at a regular Sunday at church, okay? More so maybe now, but at that time, no, you know? So, like, I knew God was doing something in me. And I even had somebody that night was just like, I don't even know how you're here. Like, how are you standing? How, you know? And I'm just like, they were watching it unfold in front of their eyes. And the Holy Spirit told me that day, he said, your life is on display. It's like you're on a stage and everybody's watching you. And he said, even your brothers and sisters are watching you, and they're about to watch how you go through this. And it's very important that you go through it well, because it's going to model for them something for when they go through something like this. It's going to model it out for them that it doesn't have to be what you think it would be in your mind. It can look a different way. Amen. After that day, I found out the Holy Spirit was correct. Surprise. I started to watch so many people's eyes on my life. They came out the woodwork. So I tried to be public about it. I was on my Facebook. I made videos because I saw people responding to it that they just came out of nowhere, it seemed like. And they were watching how everything transpired. So the days ahead actually had many, many challenges, not just losing your brother, but when you have to plan a funeral and deal with all the family aspects and all of that. And there was a lot of chaos, of course, people not always agreeing and all of this. And I could feel the whirlwind around me trying to suck me and pull me into that. But those moments that I would take and I would just pull away with the Lord were the most priceless times I've probably ever experienced in my life, because of the dimension of like experiencing God in that pain. And I can't make sense of this, okay? Lord, help me articulate it. But I had recognized such a, like, God, if it takes going through something like this to experience you in this way, it's worth it. I almost like longed for more opportunities. Like, if I have to feel a certain way or go through something hard, I know I can lean on you, and you're gonna show me something that I've never experienced before. And I was longing to, I like the word you said, because that's it, perfect, steward every single moment for him and make the most of every moment, because I knew I wasn't gonna get him back. I knew I wasn't going to get those raw moments back. It was like just one moment in time, you know? Okay. Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." I learned that. Even though it doesn't make sense up here, what's in here will come out from the depths of you if you just only yield to what God wants to do through it. It will bubble up and it will come out, and it's not going to make sense, but it's going to be noteworthy. Amen? So I just want to say, after having said all this, that I know my experience isn't everybody's experience. And what I mean by that is, I know there are probably people in this room that have gone through grief and losing somebody in a different way, and it didn't look like this. And I just want to say to that, that God can still redeem it. He can still speak to you in those tender ways, just as he did when it was happening and unfolding for me. And that grief isn't meant to be a dwelling place. Jesus is meant to be your place where you dwell. And yesterday I heard a message, and I pray this doesn't come off insensitive, but just hear it by the Holy Spirit. If God's speaking this to you, okay? I heard a man say that he had ministered to a woman something she was grieving about, and he said, "I keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, let it go." And he was so afraid to tell her that because that might, you know, offend her or something. But if there's somebody in this room that that's for, the grief that you're holding on to, that's pulling you back, that's hindering you from what God has for you, let it go. Allow God to work in your heart and bring that restoration that you need, because it's not meant to be an end point for you. It never was. It never was. And God can still use it, and he can still redeem it, and he can still bring you to a new place and a beautiful place, and even give you that testimony like I'm sharing today. And this has been a thing that's been sustained for me. I don't sit at my house and cry all day because my brother's passed away. I have peace about it, you know? You have peace about it. And I'm able to model that for people who are not in that place yet. So I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you really, Carissa, for sharing your heart and being vulnerable with us. I pray that that's a blessing for you. All right, let's pray. Why don't you stand up? Let's pray to close. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, just open your heart to him. If you whether it's from now going through something or carry grief in your heart, even from 20 years ago, grief, hurt, disappointment, loss. Father, we bundle that all up and we give it to you. We want to honor you above what we feel. Father, we know we're not meant to be weighed down by these things, by these feelings, by grief, by crisis, by tragedy. And so we give you our hurt. We give you our pain. We place it at your cross. And just like imagine yourself like with the very expensive perfume of the story that we read of the woman who poured it over Jesus's head, that you're with your pain, with your hurt, with your disappointment and your grief, your questions and your confusion, you just pour all of that over Jesus. You give it to him as a fragrant offering, as a form of worship to say, Lord, I don't want to carry this. I don't understand some things and it hurts my heart, but I give it to you. I lay it down before you. Prince of Peace, come and comfort the brokenhearted. Thank you, Lord, that your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort, that you come and you restore each heart. And you sit in that place. You just sit with them. You are the Prince of Peace, the God of presence, the ever-present help in time of trouble. You are the lifter of our heads. And I thank you, Father, for raising us up in strength, in your power, in your peace, in your joy, because your joy, Lord, is our strength. I thank you, Father, that you endured so much more for the joy set before you. And so we can endure and we can persevere when we give our grief and our hurt to you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we allow your person to come close to us. We allow the presence of God to minister to our hearts. So I thank you for pouring your balsam on each one. And those that are listening or watching on social media, bless them as well, Father. Carry them in the hard times. Thank you, Lord, for being our strength. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, we praise you, God. Let's just shout some joy right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God of all hope. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Thank you for heaven, the promise of heaven. Thank you that, the loved ones that we've lost that have known you, Father, they are with you. They are dancing in your presence. They are worshiping you. Father, we worship you today. We praise you and thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.